This is EA Radio, and this is Drone Zone, talking about UAS systems and, oh, wait, that's redundant. UA systems?
Yeah, UA systems.
Good enough. And drones. And we're joined now with John Beck. And so for full disclosure, I do work with John on a few things back at St. Cloud State University. John, why don't you give us your title and your title and the things that you're involved in are like ridiculous. So go ahead.
Well, thanks for having me on very much. I'm excited to be a part of this event, even if it's remote. As said, I couldn't be on site for it, but again, my name is John Beck, and I'm an instructor and program manager of unmanned aircraft system technology at Northland Community and Technical College, but I'm also a principal investigator for the National Science Foundation, so I do a lot of outreach work and working with different institutions across the Minnesota state system, as well as throughout the nation.
Yeah, Jim is working on it.
All right, so we're having a mild technical difficulty, but I assume that you just told us a little bit about what you did there. If you haven't yet, if you could kindly explain kind of how you got involved with drones through the military, through the National Guard, and how you're bringing that forward into the classroom now.
Yeah, you bet. I've been in aviation my whole adult career. Got into aviation back when I was in high school, enlisting in the Minnesota National Guard, initially as a air traffic controller. Went overseas 2003 time frame, and that was my first exposure to drone technology, kind of looking in a tactical environment and dealing with it from an area where there wasn't a whole lot of background experience, so we kind of wrote the rules as we went as far as how that integrated into the air traffic system. But from that experience, I thought it was pretty neat, and coming back in 2004, the Minnesota Guard was getting ready to stand up their first drone or unmanned aircraft system unit, and they put out a blanket broadcast across the state for anyone who was interested in finding out more, and that's kind of how I got into it, was jumped on that opportunity to learn a little bit more about drone technology, and thought it'd be a fascinating area to get into, and it definitely has been over the last 15 years.
All right, and so now that's how you got into it. Let's talk about how people are finding their ways into the industry right now. Now, Northland Technical Community College is one of few places that has a program as it sits right now that I can find. You have, you know, there's been a history of maintenance, you know, A&P type training that's been done there. But now we're moving into the UAV. So tell us a little bit about that program in terms of the stuff that you're training on, both for flight and for maintenance for UAS and UAVs.
Northland Community and Tech College, it's up in northwest Minnesota. You can't go much further before you hit Canada, or much to the west before you hit North Dakota. But they've had a long-standing history of training aviation maintenance techs all the way back to 1959. So a real solid base in aviation maintenance training. And the college has also been pretty innovative getting into drone technology about 7 years ago, which is when I came to the college to help stand up the nation's first drone maintenance certificate program that really focused on all the advancing technology in the aerospace industry.
So say that again now, John, because think about this. It's not drone flight. You're talking drone maintenance as well, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of the unique facets. Northland isn't specifically focused on the piloting. We work with the University of North Dakota on those fronts and their professional flight program. Northland focuses on some of the other aspects of drone technology, like you said, maintenance, and the other side is geospatial analysis, which is another program that the college has that drone technology is a part of that as a platform for gathering different types of images and data that are used by a lot of different industries out there today.
All right, so along those same lines then, John, tell us about the what you see as the kind of career path and how you see students that are running through that program could potentially be using that as part of furthering their career and getting involved in the industry.
Yeah, so it's really a neat mix. As you look at drone technology and the careers that are impacted, I think there's going to be a vast array of different careers where drone technology is just used as another tool. And it might be a couple of training courses. It might be a certificate program from a two-year tech school. That those type of individuals who are just using it as another tool are gonna go to as far as education and credentialing. Our programs, the 30-credit UAS maintenance, drone maintenance certificate, that students already have their airframe and power plant. So they've got 2 years invested in education. That gives them the top off in the career fields. We've got students placed across the world today in Guam, Sigonella, Italy, Okinawa, Japan, across the states here. We've got a lot of placements out in California. And then in our neck of the woods, the Grand Forks Air Force Base has been a hub for drone activity, both for the FAA with the National Test Site, Civil Business Development Park on the west side of the base, and then the Air Force and Customs and Border Protection. So we've got over 20 graduates today working on the Global Hawk. That's a 135-foot wingspan drone aircraft. Graduates out of Northland's program, which is pretty amazing for career opportunities.
You know, this is pretty common amongst areas that started off as a hobby and then have kind of grown into a career. Tell me about your opinion of how a person may or may not be more likely to successfully find a job having went through a certificate program or a training program like what you're involved in versus somebody that grew up flying, you know, this stuff as a kid and, you know, is now, you know, has hundreds, if not thousands of hours of time behind some pretty solid gear, you know, right up into the DJI line. And they say that they're going to go work in the industry compared to somebody who maybe just started off through a program like what you're talking about. How's the I guess, placement? How do you envision the placement difference between those two type of people?
So as you look at the training programs for small UAS, the geospatial intelligence program, which I was referring to before, and some of those traditional academic programs, I think you're going to find that they're going to provide a much more robust foundation for all the different aspects that really need to be considered as you start looking at applying drone technology in different industries. I think as you look at a lot of the systems that are coming out today, they're easy to fly right out of the box. Your average person can be pretty successful with most of the stuff that's coming out that's got GPS technology integrated, a lot of the DJI products, 3DR products, and a lot of other different consumer-grade systems. It's not necessarily a challenge to go out there and fly those systems, but when you start looking at practical applications, when you start looking at how precise your data needs to be, how accurate your 3D models need to be, your field maps, and understanding how that data is brought into usable industry platforms, different GIS, geographic information system platforms, that's really where I see a big difference is fully understanding the data that's being collected and the workflows that are necessary to apply it to different industries.
All right.
That's probably the big separating line there.
That makes some sense then. So if I am a person that is driven into this, where and how is the best way to get involved in trying to find a job right now?
Yeah, so I think there's all types of different industries out there that are going to be using this as just another tool. So a lot of their employees may have other specialties and they're incorporating this as another tool. And I think in those cases, some of the short certificates or individualized courses might be some great opportunities. As you start looking at the different industries who may have a higher level, they're not just going out to take a pretty picture with a drone, but they actually want to create those maps. They want to do something with those maps, bring them into another software tool, create prescriptions and those types of things. That's where there becomes a much greater investment than just the drone.
Sure.
You've got the drone, you've got the insurance liabilities, you may have some different software that you need to run the drone, and then you got to look at software to be able to process the images and data on the back end and that workflow to integrate it. There's a lot of those industries that are going to look for students, or they're going to look for professionals who have the credentials that we're talking about coming out of the educational programs, who are very well-rounded and may provide that alone as a service, a turnkey solution to an industry product. And that's, again, one of those areas where I see a big difference in the everyday user versus service companies.
John, we've got just a couple minutes left, and I wanted you to talk a little bit about the National Science Foundation program and drone tech programs that you run as well. So what's kind of the mission there?
That we've been getting students interested in the technology. Drone Tech was founded 4 years ago with a primary goal of outreach and access to drone technology. It doesn't seem that long ago, but I think we've all witnessed a massive transformation in what people think about with drone technology. Yeah,
four years is a lifetime in this industry.
It is. And that's so through Drone Tech, which was funded by the National Science Foundation Advanced Technological Education Program, we've been able to develop summer camps. We've been able to develop camp activities working with Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and other specialized organizations. And we've also provided educator workshops. Just in the last 2 months, we've hosted workshops at St. Cloud State University for educators who want to learn about the imagery stitching process and creating those 3D models and maps and different high-end products like that. We also hosted drones and geospatial applications, really looking at practical industry applications to bring into the classroom that really brought people from all types of disciplines and programs. And just in the next 2 weeks, we've got another one at Northland called the Drone Build, which is another drone tech educator workshop. And that's going to train educators on the parts, components, integration, and fabrication of drone technology. So more of the hands-on tinkering, understanding electronics, understanding material science. So that's what Drone Tech under the NSF project has all been about, is getting access to education on drone technology out to the masses.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for your time, John. This has been John Beck talking about the educational side of drone technology. John is the the UAS program manager for Northland Technical College. Is that right? Does that get the
yep.
term? Okay. All right.
That is accurate. Yep.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for your time, John. This is EAA Radio.
Thank you very much, Jim. I appreciate being on tonight.